Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly last night approved a resolution that supports and authorizes testing of a type of air pollution control technology local advocates say will clean up smoke from wood burning. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
All eight assembly members present for Thursday's special meeting voted to support the resolution, co-introduced by Mayor Carl Castle and Assemblymen Matt Cooper, Van Lawrence, and Lance Roberts. Cooper says they drew up the measure in response to requests by members of the public who say electrostatic precipitators could offer an alternative to more heavy-handed responses like burn bans.
It doesn't solve all the problems, it doesn't have all the answers, but it's the first step, and we have to take the first step to start and to look at alternative ways to do this.
Cooper says the measure authorizes borough staff to participate in a study of electrostatic precipitator devices, which use an electrical charge to remove health-damaging fine particulates from smoke.
This resolution directs the administration to start working towards finding a way to test them and see if they work.
But clean air advocate Jeannie Olson says the local group she heads up has already been testing electrostatic precipitators in North Pole, one connected to a wood stove at her veterinary clinic, another connected to a residential wood pellet stove.
When a pellet stove has one of these installed, it's burning so clean that sometimes we can't detect particulates.
Olson says the device she's testing, called an EcoTube, cleans up emissions from her wood stove so thoroughly that it's comparable to those of a cleaner-burning pellet stove.
When I have the EcoTube on, it's typically measuring about the same levels as a pellet stove without one of them on.
Patrice Lee was among several people who spoke in support of the technology during a public hearing on the resolution. Lee, like Olson, is a longtime member of Clean Air Fairbanks, and she says she was skeptical when Olson first asked her to help test the EcoTube until she reviewed the data.
I was blown away when I saw what wasn't going into the air.
North Pole resident Wendy Mannon says she's among many who believe the technology could help people who heat their homes mainly with wood and can't afford more expensive fuels, and who often disregard restrictions against burning during air pollution alerts.
If there isn't a way that this administration and the community can come together and find a way that people can burn cleanly and cheaply, then next year people are going to continue to ignore the burn bans. They just can't afford the fuel oil.
Borough Air Quality Manager Nick Czarnecki says he's glad that advocates for electrostatic precipitators, also called ESPs, along with members of other community interest groups, will be working with the borough on developing a testing regime for the technology.
One of my biggest concerns is that we get all of the stakeholders on board and that we figure out what is the test data that we need to show that these ESPs are going to work for a exemption to the burn bans.
Olson says she wants to ensure citizens lead the effort due to the level of mistrust many area residents have for the borough because of its efforts to enforce the federally mandated crackdown on the area's air pollution. And she says citizens' groups are capable of accomplishing tasks more quickly than bureaucracies. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Sutton resident Tom Brond has withdrawn from consideration to fill a Senate seat a day after he became Governor Bill Walker's second choice for the position, formerly held by gubernatorial candidate Mike Dunleavy. Alaska Public Media reports that the appointment touched off criticism of Brond's history of social media posts about women, abortion, and immigration. Brond did not respond to multiple phone calls requesting comment. The governor's staff attempted to steer criticism to Republicans who rejected Walker's first choice, Mat-Su Borough Assembly member Randall Kowalke. Walker says multiple Senate Republicans recommended he appoint Kowalke. A new possibility to fill the seat emerged late yesterday. The Republican Party advanced retired Palmer small business owner Vicki Waller. Once Walker makes a new appointment to replace Dunleavy, it will be up to Senate Republicans to decide whether or not to confirm that person. An art exhibit in Fairbanks seeks to raise social awareness even as it pushes boundaries in the fine arts. Decolonizing Alaska brings together Native and non-Native painters, sculptors, and multimedia artists to explore what it means to be Alaskan. KUAC's Robert Hannon reports.
Asia Freeman, the curator of Decolonizing Alaska, says the project grew out of years of organizing and viewing other art exhibitions, as well as exploring her own art. Freeman is the artistic director for Homer's Bunnell Street Art Center. And she says over time she realized that art might be the best approach to addressing the social disruption Western culture imposed on Alaska Natives.
We've never had truth and reconciliation about this very dark and problematic past. And in this work, we can just start to speak some of these hard truths.
Freeman says through art, the individual can reclaim the power to own and express cultural identity. But the exhibition isn't restricted to only Alaska Native artists. Freeman says if society is to mature to a broader perspective, non-Indigenous artists were essential to the conversation. She says a common concern is the impact of climate change.
Our peripheral kind of location conceptually has really shifted to the center of some global conversations, and Alaskan artists are actively addressing that.
But if decolonizing Alaska doesn't shy from addressing broad social themes, it's equally provocative when it comes to expression. Besides traditional forms such as painting and sculpture, the exhibit includes multimedia pieces, such as Joel Isaac's, which incorporates a video loop seen through a fish skin cover. He says the exhibition invited artists, Native and non-Native, a chance to break conventional expectations.
I think that's one of the things that the show really does well, is illustrates to other museums, other gallery spaces, that you can have this conversation. You can have it at a very high professional level, and it can be successful.
Indeed, besides touring Alaska venues, Decolonizing Alaska was shown at the Cochrane School of Art and Design in Washington, D.C., the nation's oldest art gallery. And following its current showing at the University of Alaska Museum of the North in Fairbanks, it heads for the Center for Contemporary Art and Culture in Portland, Oregon. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
And I'm Dan Bross.